Church. My name is Pierre. For those of you who don't know me, it's my joy this morning to share the Word of God with you. Been back here for the past 2 weeks after our sabbatical, our time away, which has been so good and so refreshing. Last Sunday was our first Sunday back, and just so grateful for the team that said, just come and enjoy the fellowship, and we did. Last week was just such a special moment to be back here this morning, but here we are, back on duty. Lena's singing again, I'm preaching again. Back to the old, guys. But we do believe that that God has something new in store for us as a church. And I want to take a moment before I preach to speak about our journey for the next few weeks. Because as you guys know, we have been waiting for a building. It's a little bit like waiting for the second coming of Christ. We're like, can this just happen now? Can it wrap up? We don't know the times and seasons. Sometimes we don't need to know the times and seasons. But it seems like we now almost know the times and seasons of when we will go into the building. So I want to say this. Next week will be a kind of a vision morning for us. We're going to speak about the season we have been in, the season we are in currently, and what we will walk in as a community. And there will be an official update next week about the building. I'm not going to share it now because that's not what this message this morning is about. But vision will come next week. Part of the vision I'm going to share is we're going to start a journey of discipleship together on our Sunday mornings called We Believe Sundays. So more about that next week, but our We Believe Sundays are going to be the week following next week. So the first weekend in March, we will have a We Believe Sunday. If you don't know what that's about, that's cool. No one really knows. We'll tell you about it. And then after that, we're going to go into a new series that we're going to call Uncomfortably Close. Those people in Jesus' walk that society pushed aside, and he just came real close to them to love on them. We're going to go on a journey together through that. So I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a preview of what is happening. But next week in particular, important for you to be here, to hear important updates, times and seasons, and to know where we are going together as a community. We've been on this incredible journey of being set apart. Can you guys testify of being ministered to? Can you guys testify of understanding a little bit what it means to be holy? That it's not weird, but it's good and it's great, and it's God's intent for us. And last week, Mario ended us so beautifully by pointing our hearts forward to the moment that holiness will be completed. When we are in the new city, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, and we heard that it is coming soon. When? We do not know. But we do find ourselves living now as this chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart to proclaim his excellencies. We live in this in-between world of the new earth and this earth. The kingdom that is coming and the kingdom that is already here. The kingdom here and the kingdom not yet. And God has really been impressing a word on my heart for us for this season. I believe that will minister to many places in your own heart, your own journey, your own questions. Because if I look at the world today, my soul yearns for the one that is to come. I'm like, Lord, I really, really, really wish we could be there already. So help me live here in the right way. And that's where I hope to take us this morning through the Word. This morning, the title of my message is simply, Children of Light. Children of Light. Looking around, the world is definitely in an interesting season. Insecurity is all around. It's everywhere. It's in our own hearts, in our own mouths. Uncertainty, fear, anxiety. We read the news with our hearts beating a little bit faster of everything that's happening. There's talk on the streets of where this will all end. And we find ourselves a faith community in a time where we just wish we knew a little bit more about the future. And there was a similar community that Paul wrote to. And this morning we're going to read some of what he wrote to them to set our hearts on Jesus and to understand how we ought to live in today's day and age. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to the first letter to the church in Thessalonica, Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, not a problem. It'll be on the screen and you can follow then. We're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's read together. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and let us be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. God, I pray that your word would speak deep into our soul and deep into our spirits, and that something would change in us today. Lord, I pray that all the voices and thoughts and things that might have been extremely loud in our worlds, Lord, would become quiet and that you would speak. Holy Spirit, will you come and anoint your word as you do? And will you speak to your people through the preaching of your word as you desire this morning? In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Who of you have ever experienced jet lag? So for those of you who haven't experienced it or don't know what it is, jet lag is when you get into a pressurized tube and fly halfway across the world to another country, to a faraway land, and you get there and you realize you feel a little bit weird and off, and you're suddenly very hungry and you realize, oh, I've missed 3 meals and I've been given breakfast at 11 o'clock at night back home while I was sleeping on the plane. You know how that goes. You sleep and then they wake you up and it's time for breakfast. You're like, buddy, it's 11 o'clock back in South Africa. You want to feed me breakfast? And your body goes through all of these experiences, and then you get to the other side and you realize you have to set your watch on a whole new time. And it's a shock to the body, right? If you've experienced that, it is quite a shock. In our recent trip to the States, we came back and we were a little bit naughty because the last few weeks in America, being with family, we ended up going to bed at around 12 or 1 o'clock at night. We had these glorious blockout blinds. If you're lucky enough to have those in your house, hallelujah. Because they made us sleep till 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. It's winter, it's cold out, you only have a few hours of light. So we slept well, but we also slept very late. And by the time we got back to South Africa, our clock has not only moved the 7 hours, but our body clock has more moved like 12 hours. Because we were so awake at night and so asleep. So we got back in South Africa early January. First night, it was a flight that came in towards the end of the day. So unpack our bags, go for a good shower, get into bed. And goodness, the next morning at 5 a.m., sunny South Africa says, good morning, Pierre. It's time to get up. And all of my body was still in the United States of America, but all of a sudden I'm in the kingdom of South Africa. And the sun is beckoning. And I'm like, where are those blockout blinds? I don't want to get up. I wanted to pull my pillow over my head and just sleep a little bit longer because everything inside of me felt wrong and out of whack. Paul is writing to people who's met Jesus. And for so long, they were in darkness. But the light has come. and somehow things feel a little bit out of whack. Somehow they're like, we know the kingdom is coming and Jesus is coming, and when he comes back, he's going to take us there to that kingdom, and I am now in the kingdom of light, but goodness, it is difficult to adjust and find myself here. Because the world I'm in is still in all its darkness. How do I live? How do I live? N.T. Wright writes about this particular piece that Paul writes to the church. And he says this, followers of Jesus then must get used to living with a form of theological jet lag. The world all around us is still in darkness, but they have set their clocks for a different time zone. It's already daytime in their worldview clock, and they must live as daytime people. When I read that and I look at my friends who profess Jesus, when I wonder about the state of the global church, I wonder if some of us have moved our clocks back tonight. Because coming to Christ Jesus means we're coming to the light of the world. Coming to him and accepting him as our Savior means that all of our thinking, our understanding, our whole approach to life needs to change. We have a new worldview, and the world is saying darkness, darkness, darkness all around. But that's not for us. We are children of the light. We are children of the day, the scripture says. Sometimes we go through this journey, and the questions that we ask every day is, when will this darkness end? How will we get out of this? The people of Thessalonica were battling with some questions. If you read the letter from beginning to end, you see that Paul is really working with them to understand what the second coming of Jesus means. Because some of them were afraid that the people who died prior to Jesus' return, what's going to happen to them? And Paul answers these questions to them theologically, saying, well, they might be asleep, but they will awake when Jesus comes. And then he will take both those who were asleep and those who are physically awake at his return. Those who were his children will go with him to his kingdom. So they're battling with this idea, and they're trying to figure out the times and the seasons. And they're trying to live in a way that they won't be caught off guard when Jesus comes back. And Paul writes and he says, you know what, when he comes back, it will be like a thief in the night. And he quotes Jesus and he quotes the prophet Joel in that moment. He says, but you don't have to worry. Because you live in the day and because you live in the light already, Jesus' return won't catch you off guard. And some of what he does here and some of what I believe you need to hear is that your security, once you are in the grace of Jesus Christ, is just that, it's secure. You don't have to walk around worrying, is it going to catch me off guard? I remember growing up as a kid thinking through this whole thing. I'm going to stand in the queue and then I'm going to think, oh, I never said sorry for this and sorry for that. And I'm going to be so terrified and scared facing God. Paul says, no, 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 no. It's not like that. You're awake. The light has shone. You're in the kingdom of light. Your watch is set on daytime. Now live as daytime people. Three things I want to share with us this morning. First thing that Paul writes about is this daytime reality. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The beginning we read in John chapter 1, the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Word came and dwelt upon us, and light shone in the darkness, and darkness could not overcome it. Jesus has stepped into this world, he has stepped into our lives, and the light has shone. Do you live with your watch set on daytime? Jesus said, you don't have to fear. You are children of the light. Paul writes and says, you are not in the darkness. You're also not in the darkness about what will take place. I will write to you to say that you don't have to worry about when Jesus comes. You know what, guys? We don't know. Doesn't matter how many prophecies you read. Doesn't matter if you read Revelation back to the end and the other way around and turn the page and read it upside down. You will not know when Jesus comes. But what you do know is your clock is set on daytime. So let him come when he is ready to meet me. Paul writes in so many places of God and his light. We sang it this morning beautifully. Glorious, ever bright. when we think about him, and he writes in the letter to Timothy that in God there's an endless, ever-giving light. And then we walk through this life and there's things that stand up and it casts some shadows for a moment. But if we keep walking, fixing our gaze on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, we will run this race with endurance because we are heading into the light as we are daytime people. So he writes and he says, guys, you now live in a daytime reality. We read in one of his other letters, Colossians, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Looking at that verse, we can be secure about three things as daytime people. We can be secure of our salvation. He has rescued you. He has purchased you with a price. He has come and he has redeemed you out of that dark kingdom that this world is still stuck in. And he's placed you in the kingdom of his son. Second thing is we can be secure of our state. We are in a kingdom of light and we are in a kingdom of freedom. He purchased you for freedom. Some of us are in the freedom of daytime. It is sunny South Africa, but we want to walk back to the snow-covered, cold, dark night of the Northern Hemisphere. He says, no, live in the freedom. Live in the freedom that he bought. And then he has secured our sanctification for the forgiveness of sins. He is working in us. And you guys, we've spoken about this in our Set Apart series. Sanctification is a lifelong journey of becoming like Jesus. Paul struggles with this himself in the letter to Romans, where he says, the things that I should do, I don't. And things that I don't want to do, I do. And I'm in this wretched state of struggling. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this kingdom of light, a daytime people are people who know that they're saved. It's people who know what state they live in. And it's people who are secure that God will continue to sanctify them to become like Jesus. Have you ever heard the expression, he or she is so heavenly minded that they're not any earthly good? Anyone heard that? You know that's absolute rubbish. The best people in life are those who are heavenly minded because they become truly earthly good. Those who constantly think of this kingdom of light, who know that there's a kingdom rushing our way, and when Jesus returns, we step into that full newness where pain will be no more, and hardship will be no more, and difficulty will be no more. Those are the kind of people that walk in this earth and they reflect that kingdom into this world. And that's what daytime people ought to look like. Have you been reflecting that kingdom lately? Or are you just reflecting the news? Are you just reflecting the darkness? What are you reflecting? Maybe you do read the news and you become scared. Do you want to say this morning, look at your watch? It's daytime. Maybe you have gotten fixated on the times and the seasons. Follow this prophet and that prophet, and I laugh when these people prophesy the end of the world. I've survived 7 end of the world since I was born in 1983. Do you want to say, if you get fixated on figuring it out, look at your watch. It's day. Maybe you struggle to get by each month. I want to say, look at your watch. There's a day that'll come, and it's heading our way, that struggle is over. We live in this in-between spaces. Our clocks are set on something else. Maybe you want to leave South Africa because it's so dark. Look at your watch. We're daytime people. Maybe you sit in the pain of broken relationships. Look at your watch. We are daytime people. Maybe you're a single parent and it's really hard. I want to say, look at your watch. We're daytime people. Maybe you are battling sickness. Look at your watch. We are daytime people. We have been taken out of one reality and placed in a new one. Let's live there. A new daytime reality. The second thing that Paul writes about is a daytime covering. Without sharing details, who of you guys dress down when you go to bed? Okay, keep it there. We have clothes for the night and clothes for the day, right? Some of us have no clothes at night and only clothes for the day, but share, don't share. Keep it to yourselves. But who of you would agree that your daytime covering has to kind of be sufficient? Otherwise, it's awkward. You've got to cover up the stuff that needs to be covered up. Paul writes about our daytime covering. He says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober. So think about this straight. Don't get drunk like people who get drunk at night. He's making it very practical, all these analogies that he's using. He says, let us be sober, having put on, here's our daytime covering, the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. A daytime people have a daytime dress code. And Paul makes it so practical. He says, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Did he not write that the three most important things are faith, hope, and love? Well, that's what you got to wear. But he's going a little bit deeper. He says, listen, I'm talking military clothing here. Your breastplate, that thing that protects and guards your heart. Your heart's kind of here. If you're normal like me, maybe not. Maybe your heart is here, but heart is generally here. Your breastplate of faith and love. And then put on the helmet for the hope of salvation. Now, if you know a little bit of your Bible, you know in Ephesians chapter 6, he speaks about the armor of God. Armor of God. I'll translate tongues this morning. That's when kids' church is beautiful, because they all go like, armor of God. You're like, yes, they've got it. And they've got their little things and they've drawn it and colored it in. But you guys, He's saying, it's important what Paul says here. He says, daytime dressing, you're daytime people, but this is what you dress like. That breastplate and that helmet, that breastplate is the place of your heart. It's your central being. It's your inner person. And it's called the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians chapter 6. Can't read the Bible in isolation. You've got to link the hyperlinks. What it means is that you as a daytime people are now in a right standing relationship with God. The old is gone, the new has come. You are now right with God. You have been justified by his grace through your faith. So your heart is good with God. But you've got to keep that breastplate up, because your heart is deceitful above all things, and it can lead you back into the dark ages. And then he says, and your helmet, your thinking, that place where you think, you've got to think salvation, you've got to think hope, you've got to think life. You can't get thinking the wrong things. So he's saying two things. Daytime people dress with their hearts protected and their minds protected. Because those are the two things that gives the moment we get bad news. The moment darkness comes a little bit closer, those two things gives. And Paul says, no, dress up. Dress up with the breastplate and with the helmet. The Bible speaks about this so many times. Proverbs 4, above all things, guard your heart. 2 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ Jesus. So we have to dress up like that. We've got to get up in the morning and say, whatever comes, I have the breastplate. I'm going to guard my heart, and I've got the helmet. I'm going to think everything under the submission of Jesus Christ. When you step into a meeting and things aren't great, will you stay dressed? When you go into conversation and things go weird, will you take off the helmet and the breastplate and expose yourself? Or will you go to that covering that Jesus has given us? Paul writes about this in Philippians 4 when he says that the Lord is at hand. I love that. God is near. Jesus is near. Therefore, don't be anxious about anything. Do we practice that? Who agrees that that's hard? Who of you were anxious this week? I'm raising my hand. Why should we not be anxious? Why? Because the Lord is near. His kingdom has come. It's day. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when anxiety comes, it is an opportunity to pray and speak to God and bring those anxieties to Him. Say, help me, God. I'm stressing about this. And then, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard what? Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So daytime people are a praying people. Our covering lies in prayer. In these times where our hearts wander and our minds are filled with the wrong thoughts, are you praying? Are you coming to Him and saying, I'm anxious. Jesus, help me. So that you can restore your covering. So that you can be dressed for action. When the news bulletin comes in, do you take off the breastplate and the helmet, or do you strengthen your resolve to be covered? That conversation at the braai, do you put it down for a moment? Worry lunt, worry runt. It's an old joke. It still works somehow. Who's going to be our president? Who's king seated on the throne above whom every ruler and principality has to bow? That's God. If I can answer that, men will come, men will fall, women will rise, women will fall. But God. When children at home are scared of what they hear on the news, can we help them fasten their breastplate and put on their helmet? When they are scared of their future, can we cover them with the breastplate and the helmet? We're daytime people with a daytime covering. And then the last thing that Paul says, so beautifully and so important, and I want to say thank you for being here today because you're practicing this. There's a daytime community. We cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this alone. If you've tried, and I've tried before, I've learned that it fails. I just don't have the strength to do this on my own. Therefore, he says, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Because your clocks are set on a different time zone, because there's a different kingdom that's come and you're living in the day, make sure that you walk with brothers and sisters who do the same and encourage one another. So when Eugene is in a conversation with Andre and Andre is in a space of challenge, Eugene can say, Andre, let's look at your watch, buddy. Let's remind ourselves where we're walking. I'm going to help you walk so that you feel you are walking in the light again. That's what we do in our follow groups, friends. It's not so that we can have a nice church organization, say, here's groups and this and that. No, it's so that you can walk with men and women that say, hey, let's check our watches. We are people of the light. And when some of us face darkness, we can pull one another into the light again. We need each other, friends. The Bible is full of it. We read in the letter of Hebrews, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts, there it is again, hearts, are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today. Can I pause there? Some of us neglect to warn one another. The Bible says do it daily. Some of us don't even do it monthly because I'm so scared what he or she might say. Will they get offended? You know what? If my warning is making sure you're staying in the light, I'll warn you as much as I can. And you know what? Please do the same for me. If you see me walking in the wrong time zone, come and say, Pierre, get back in line, buddy. Warn one another every day while it's still today. If there's something that you see in a brother or sister's life, don't wait until that perfect coffee moment and then you sit in the coffee and then it gets a little bit awkward and like, did you have that conversation? No, I didn't. Just didn't feel like the time is right. When is the best time? Today. Encourage one another while it's still today. So that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Because I know if my brother or sister walks down that road far too long, their heart will become hard. Some of us in this room this morning might have hard hearts against others and against God. Maybe you haven't had people to help you a daytime community to show you the way. And then it says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, there it is, the moment we came into the light, if we can stay there, if we can keep living there, if we are faithful to make the light the thing that we live in, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. When we are so affected by the news, by our anxieties, by opinions, so many opinions, I'm tired of opinions. I'm tired of opinions of what's happening around the world. I'm tired of one opinion counts in my eyes, and it's this one. If we're tired of suffering, if we're just tired, it's a new year, and somehow you think like, ah, I should have it, and you don't. Live with your daytime community. Weekly. Daily, if you must. Find those brothers and sisters that you know you can connect with. Reach out in, guys, sorry to burst your bubble. It's not me. I cannot be that too. Everyone in this church, that's why we've got groups. And it's not just the elders and just, they're just there to fulfill function so that we as a church can function well in the call that God has for us. But find your community where there's a daytime people pointing you to the light. And end with a story. When we were in the U.S., was greatly blessed to fulfill a lifelong dream that I had since a teenage boy. And that is to go watch an NBA game. Anyone jealous? Please forgive me. And let Jesus work on your jealousy. I was the biggest, weirdest white boy that loved NBA in South Africa that you could imagine. Because it just didn't sit right. I mean, my heroes were Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen. Anyone knows those? Okay, some of you do. Well, that's great. I was wearing Chicago Bulls vests. I had an NBA Chicago Bulls Spalding basketball, and I had posters up on my wall when I grew up. They're not on the wall again. Helena made sure, because we got married young. Like, take them off. I so loved this world of basketball that didn't exist in South Africa. Like, I just wanted to play basketball. So eventually we founded a basketball court in Pretoria at the Chinese school. There was a school for Chinese people that were teaching in Chinese, and there was a basketball court. So me and my buddies on Friday afternoons had to break into the school grounds and shoot some hoops. And then when security comes, we had to run away. So you can imagine when my sister said, Pierre, I'm blessing you with a ticket to go see an NBA game. My heart was so excited. I'm like, who's playing? Chicago Bulls against the 76ers. The 76ers are the Philadelphia team. We were in Philadelphia. So it's a home game for the 76ers. So excited to experience this. Now, I had a bit of a personal challenge because I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, right? But I'm looking at what they call the Eastern and Western Conference, and I'm like looking at the Eastern Conference current winnings, and the Chicago Bulls are right down there at the bottom. The 76ers are right there at the top. So am I now going to shout for the losing team because they're clearly going to lose, or will I be shouting for the 76ers? I also had a moment with one of my sister's friends who took us to the game, and I said, what are 76ers about? He says, well, 1976. I'm like, that might mean something to you. It's interesting how people in different countries think you know all about their history. It's like me saying 1994, you know? And he's like, what does it mean? He didn't tell me. It's just, yeah, 1976, Philadelphia. I'm like, I have no clue. I've still got to go read about it. But they're the 76ers. Long story short, it's a glorious experience. I've learned in America that sports are so oriented to the crowds. So yeah, we've got the team and the crowds, and yeah, there's a bit of synergy, but there, everything that happens on the field is affected by the crowd. So when the Chicago Bulls, who's the enemy team, have the ball, then everyone starts booing. Boo! And they run, and they've got 20 seconds like that. 20 seconds. Now you're awake. I don't know what that is, but let's carry on. 20 seconds. I'll give you 20 seconds. Alrighty, 20 seconds to shoot the ball. So everyone's booing, and then there's music playing to make them nervous. It goes, da-na, da-na, da-na. So everything is set against these people to win. when the home team, the 76ers, have got the ball, it's these swanky R&B music playing. And when they shoot and they shoot a hoop and it's in, they're like, ah, Funamava with a three-pointer. But then when the Chicago Bulls get their once in a while shot in, they're just like, Rousseau. It's just this whole world of interaction. So at some point I realized I've got to shout for the 76ers. I moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I'm going to be on the winning team today. But you know what struck me is two-thirds in to this game, it is clear the 76ers are going to win. They've got a 40-point lead up on the board. And all that the crowd did was seeing where the Chicago Bulls will miss their shots. So much so that they get the crowd involved when there's a penalty shot. So that's when you get to stand without any blockages and shoot for a hoop. That they give the crowd behind the hoop these big hands that you get at stadiums to create diversion so that the guy who's got to shoot's eye go like this and he misses the shot. And here's the payoff. If he misses it twice in a row, everyone gets 5 chicken nuggets. Welcome to America. But I was perplexed that at some point, the focus moved from guys, we're winning, to like, I hope the enemy misses a shot. Because if he does, I'll have a moment of reprieve. I'll have a moment of comfort. I just want those nuggets to get through today. And I realized that even though the 76ers won, there's a picture of the stadium, if you can see it up there. Maybe it's not. That's okay. He's looking for it. Even though the 76ers won on the end, when they won, it was kind of a subdued celebration. Because you know why? No one got chicken nuggets. They got the hoop in every now and again. And I thought that's such an analogy for us today. We know that we win. We know that in the end, Christ is victorious, that he wins the war, that there might be battles on this journey until he comes and finishes it once and for all. But we get fixated on whether the enemy is going to miss the shot this time. We have these anti-enemy meetings. We've got to pray the devil out and sort him out. And I'm like, guys, Jesus has already won. On the cross, he has defeated the power of death, and the enemy has to bow to his name. So can we walk not focusing on the night, but living as daytime people? Living with our focus in the right place, that in the end, Jesus wins. So the question we have to answer this morning is, what time zone are you in? What are you focusing on at the moment? I'm going to ask Elena to come join me. Up front. What are you focusing on in the moment? I want to read a verse from 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. How's your watch set this morning? Are you part of this daytime community that's got our daytime covering? That's walking in the daylight that Christ has bought with his precious blood when he defeated every power of the enemy. And he knows that in this life, there will be battles and there will be shots. And the ball will go through the hoop sometimes when the enemy shoots. But he knows if we persevere and we encourage one another, we'll get to the other side. And he's going to come and take us back. And that's what Paul is saying. You know what? Don't get so fixated on when Jesus comes. Know this, that if you are in Christ Jesus, you're going home with him. The light will fully shine on you. So this morning, we have to respond to this word. We have to. I had to respond to it this whole week. Man, there's some things at the moment that I'm trying to figure out, and they're just not making sense, but I'm like, God, I bring them to you. I bring them into the light. Let your light shine on this darkness so that the darkness can flee. The first response this morning is maybe you've never stepped out of the kingdom of darkness. You haven't stepped into the light. What does it mean? It simply means you have not come to the point where you say, Jesus, you now are Lord over my life, and I choose your kingdom, and I choose to live in it, and I pray by faith, Lord, that I too be saved and be part of this daytime community. You might sit here and you're hearing all of this and your world is just darkness. You've got to come to the light. Where you step out of fellowship with this broken kingdom of this world, step into the light. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you this morning. That's you. A second response. For all of us, really, that has put our watches on the wrong time zone. We come to church, we might even be in a follow group, we pray before we eat. We might even be religious, we grew up in church, you know, go to church with our parents. But when you open your mouth and what comes out of your heart is a darkness focus. You aren't living in the light. You aren't living as daytime people. You haven't guarded your heart with that breastplate and put on the helmet of thinking according to your salvation. There's an invitation for you this morning. It might be small things, it might be big. Doesn't matter. When the light shines in the darkness cannot overcome it. So here's what we're going to do. If you can respond to either of those two, I want you to simply stand where you're at. Take a stand. Say, I'm stepping into the light. Doesn't have to be something that you've got to be ashamed of, because we are in a place where there's daytime people. So if you need to step into the light in whatever way this morning, can you just rise up? Take that step. Thank you. There's more. I know there's more. You guys are holding back. Don't be afraid. God is pulling us into the light this morning. He's setting our watches onto the right time zone. Thank you, Lord. He's making you see that we are winning, even though the enemy is trying. And he's calling us to a far greater life, not one where everything we do is just try and see that the enemy fails. No, one, we like Jesus, you are our victor. You are our victor. I want the ministry team to come forward, because we're going to be praying for you this morning. I'm going to give it another 2 minutes to just enjoy God and let His Holy Spirit speak. Leona's going to sing part of that song we sang this morning, Glorious Endless Light. It says, when fear speaks the loudest, when truth is on trial, you come and you settle those things, because your brightness is greater than those things. If you still feel like God is saying, you need to stand up today because you need to step into the light, take the next moment to do so. For the rest of us, let's put our focus on Him for a moment. Let's focus on the light. I want to say this one last thought. I wasn't sure whether I was going to share this. During our intercession before the service, I saw a vision of a throne room. And on the throne was God in His glory. And on this side was a young individual walking towards the light of God, but he was surrounded by these big, very intimidating, almost gargoyle, demon-looking things that is standing there. Now they can't touch him. They can't do anything about this individual or to this individual because they are in the light. But their shadows do cast momentary moments where they are intimidated. And they intimidate the one walking towards God's light. Some of you have been yielding to intimidations by the enemy that he wants to break over your life this morning. And how do you do it? You stand up today and say, God, I'm walking straight with my eyes on you. Those things are not allowed to touch me because I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to fix my gaze on you. So if that is still you, please stand up. We'd love to minister to you. Let's take 2 minutes draw prayer and focus our eyes on Jesus, our endless light, and then we will conclude this morning.